Even after years of football, farming, and fad diets, Seth Payne can still get excited.
I peed all over myself. I'm peeing right now. Oh, my God.
This is What's Moving Seth's Needle. On Houston's Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Who knows what might unfurl?
So I'm reading this book by Michael Lombardi, Gridiron Genius, something, something, Master's Class, whatever, whatever. It's a really good book. I'm enjoying it very much so far. I'm just kind of, it's one of these books where I'm not reading it from beginning to finish. I'm just going around and hopping around to various parts. And there was a really interesting part where he's talking about when he used to work with Bill Walsh. And Bill Walsh was insistent that when they evaluated players, that there was to be no, like, saying, this guy sucks or this guy bleeps or whatever, that they're looking to find people who can do things for their team. We're going to talk about what people can do. And I thought it was notable just in that it seemed like a level of class that probably not all organizations exude.
Definitely not.
And I tried to think back on myself and think, like, how many times have I said that a player bleeps or a guy is a clown or what have you in the last week? Much higher than Bill Walsh would have had it, I think. Much higher.
I don't think we've gone after too many specific players in the last 2 weeks in this fashion.
I'm actually pretty high on the Texans players.
I know.
I feel pretty good about a lot of these guys.
It's really been more the head coach stuff. I think we've been pretty positive about the players.
And Deshaun Watson's made some dumb mistakes. I think it's fair to call them dumb mistakes. Mistakes are inherently dumb.
Yeah, with Deshaun, it's been more about the concern. It's like if your A student brings home a couple Bs, you're like, okay, well, we don't like this trend. We love you, and we know what you're capable of. We know you're capable of more, buddy.
Per McClain's grading system is an F minus in week one, and in week two, it's probably a B minus.
You're an A plus or an F minus. This is an oil town, baby. We go with the highs, we go with the lows. You know, there is no in between. You're either all in or you're all out. I will say this, though. I ranted a little bit yesterday. I will make no apologies for that rant, even though I may have called various people clowns or what have you in their rant. I think the hardest part of this job for me has been, I think, the slow and gradual realization by people over at the Texans facilities that understand now that, look, I'm not some do-boy for the team. Like, I'm not going to be this guy that's all lovey-lovey all the time because I used to play there, and maybe you'll throw me a little bagel every now and then as a good boy. That's not going to happen. It's just flat-out not going to happen. I care, just like the fans, I care about the welfare of that team, and I have the avenue and the microphone to complain loudly about it when I don't think it's doing the right thing.
And, I mean, you've been here since the inception of the team.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a vested interest, number one. But number two, if they were doing things that were actually to be lauded, I'm sure you would, which is the issue that I have with any team that would say to themselves, you know what? We can't have anyone talking bad about our team. Like the Rockets, when we used to be partners with them.
Yeah.
They did this all the time. I don't know what they're doing up the dial. But I'm assuming it sucks.
Oh.
And look, they're a good team. Every now and then things happen that are worth criticizing. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be saying what the fans are saying.
Like, I mean, I'm going to sit here and be like, yeah, boy, that Bill, boy, that O'Brien, he's just really, really, really had it in. He had him in the fourth quarter. Did you see, guys? O'Brien had him in the fourth quarter. Everything's awesome.
Woo!
Yeah, give me more Valium.
I think this would be on them. I mean, just you as a personality, like, yeah, you are a more sort of, like, volatile emotion.
I'm a volatile
person. It's not a bad thing.
A bad, nice guy on radio. It doesn't work out that well.
A bad, nice guy on radio.
Wait, a bad, nice guy. You'd be a bad radio guy. A nice guy, but a bad radio guy.
If you were
guy.
Too nice about the team.
Man, sometimes I think I need to be more distinguished. I feel like...
How so?
I don't know. Maybe I need to be one of these old school... The problem is, the old school guys were reporters. Like, you would kind of get up, and it was an age before the internet where you were just delivering information to people and doing it eloquently.
And they're boring.
Yeah, they're boring. Yeah. Well, like the Jim Gray fella. The Jim Gray, who's won all these journalism awards or what have you.
Like nine Emmys.
I listen to him, and I honestly, I want to start doing drugs. I want to, like, kids, it's never an option. It's never an avenue. By the way, when I bought some spray paint at Home Depot yesterday, and they proofed me. I didn't really. Forgot. Yeah, because you know the huffing.
Yes,
you can't. They got to be sure that you're not going to go home and be inhaling these vapors. And I did, but it was inadvertent. I was in a closed
you didn't mean
garage.
To.
I didn't mean to like, get high off of it. No. That's now. Listen, kids. Seriously, now. A lot of times I'm joking when I tell you not to do drugs. I'm serious about this. Don't do the inhaling of the vapors or whatever. It'll mess you up for life.
Bad idea.
Maybe, it doesn't actually, yeah. What were you going
to
say, Paul?
It is one thing to be informative. It's nice to be informative from time to time in this industry. This industry is all about entertainment. Be entertaining. You could be wrong and be entertaining.
Yep.
You could be really wrong and be entertaining.
The other book that I'm reading right now is The Big Game, that book that's supposed to be about the NFL at large, but it's mostly about defending the Patriots and Deflategate and the takedown of Roger Goodell.
Defend
it is a good read, just because there's just so many little stories and nuggets that he gets from owners.
It's very funny.
My favorite in the book so far, by far, is Jerry Jones. Just because Jerry Jones is so openly and plainly exactly who he is. And I feel like he's the one owner that genuinely gets it. Like, he's an owner that doesn't... He gets it in terms of the business side of things. There's plenty of things he doesn't get in life and otherwise. But in terms of just being a brazenly... just aggressive marketer and somebody who doesn't care what anybody says about his team as long as they're talking about his team. There's one nugget in there where... they're talking about how a lot of the owners and a lot of the smaller market owners don't like the fact that these teams are seemingly in an arms race for bigger, more opulent stadiums, where Jerry Jones built the biggest, most opulent ones. In some ways, it actually sucks for the home team's performance on the field because it feels like you're playing in a convention center.
Definitely.
But it is a monument to the NFL's greatness. And he said something that is... in response to that, in response to the criticism where these owners say, look, most of the revenue comes from television. Why do you need this big stadium? He said that TV, they don't want to be paying money. Nobody's going to buy something from some broke bleep, like a male member, a broke bleep with his ass hanging out, which is this. It's the same concept that led Steve Jobs, that when Steve Jobs was Silicon Valley bro that was always wearing like a black turtleneck and jeans, when he went to ask for money from investors or from a bank, he wore a really nice suit. And that's something to learn in life. People much prefer to lend money to somebody who doesn't need the money. And it, when you tell somebody...
the appearance matters.
And now as long as if you can actually pull it off, there's a difference between being gaudy or flashy or what have you. But when you pull it off, when you tell people, hey, this is a big deal, the weirdest thing is that people will listen to you. Like if you tell, and it's the junior high assembly mentality. When you used to be in junior high and some stupid ass hair band would come and they'd be like, look at this, look who we have for you. It's Steve and the Geriatrics or something. And you're like, yeah, Steve and the Geriatrics. I love these guys. And the girls are all fawning over the drummer because he looks dangerous and all that. If you tell people something's a big deal, they'll believe it. And that's what Jerry Jones is a master at doing.
I'm a big fan of the book because I like Mark Leibovich, who's the author, normally a political writer. He just basically removes all these different facades that exist in the NFL. He will like tear those down. And he's like, yeah, this is just a bunch of like really weird billionaires. And here's all the weird stuff that goes on in the NFL.
He talks about Eric Winston. There's a chapter I'm on right now is on Eric Winston.
There's one section, but he mentioned Eric Winston's a journeyman. And I'm reading this, and I was kind of like, I know he's been on a few teams, but I kind of felt bad for Eric.
I don't trust everything that he's written in this book, I'll be honest with you, because it's a classic case where, like, wait a second, when he's writing about subjects which I'm familiar with, he's not accurate. So, like, all these other subjects where I'm not as familiar with it, like, how inaccurate are you on those?
Because I don't know enough to verify it.
And, like, he's very open about it. It's weird. He's a political writer, and I feel like political writers somehow think because they're writing about a more important topic that they're somehow better than sports writers, where, in fact, in a lot of ways, they're worse. They deal in the bartering and all this stuff as much as anybody. And he's writing this story... and I, as a journalist, but who is openly professing his love for the Patriots the whole time. So I appreciate the transparency, but I kind of like everything. There's some quotes in there, even from Goodell, who like I don't particularly enjoy or like. But there'll be some quotes from Goodell that seem relatively harmless, and he presents them like, oh, can you believe this? Roger Goodell's having trouble with the app on his phone. Telling. Yeah, all right. Stuff like that.
Where are you at on the book?
I'm having a tough time finding time to read.
It's not always easy.
You got
I try
TV
to sneak it in a little
bit. Need to finish and whatnot.
I mean, I just am much more into television than I am into reading. And whenever I read, I get like 15 pages and I just get tired.
Yeah.
Now this would
That's
be perhaps a strategy to get me to sleep earlier, to set aside a time where, all right, I'm going to read and then I'm going to go to bed. But habits are hard to shake.
Speaking of television shows, my wife and I, last night, I had to power through it because I was incredibly tired. We finished
Ozark?
Ozark, season two.
Ooh.
Ozark, season two.
So good.
The title of season two should be Ruthie Cries a Lot. Very, very good. If you guys haven't seen this on Netflix yet, this is much in the vein of, I'm not going to tell you anything, Jonesy. Jonesy has no spoiler alerts at all. I'll say this, what you already know, Jonesy. Much in the vein of Breaking Bad, this is a show that makes you never, ever, ever want to be a criminal. Like, it just so perfectly captures the constant stress and fear and tension, the duplicitous nature that you have to live, all these things. It's so, I have a pit in my stomach the entire time I'm watching this show. It's so brilliant, and it's a perfect Netflix series because of that. I have a pit in my stomach because I'm so concerned for the characters that I have to watch to the end to find out what happens.
I sat through and watched the whole second season on Labor Day in one sitting. It's so dark. It's not just the lighting. It's just a really dark vibe throughout the show, and there are very few moments of humor throughout it. But that said, it's still very good.
Yeah. There is the one thing that bothers me the whole time I'm watching this is, like, why don't you just turn state's evidence? Like, what? There's no personal allegiance to the people that, you know, and it's very clear. Jonesy, I don't think that this is a spoiler. Like, it's very clear he's never going to turn state's evidence because then the show would be over. We'd be like, season three, Marty's an accountant in Phoenix. <You know?
laughs> So this is worth it for someone like me to watch.
It's a really good. Yeah.
Okay. All right.